We have several opportunities for helping in our community in various ways. And so I know that we all can't give to every single thing that comes along, but I'm sure that through the opportunities that are provided, there's something there that will pull at your heartstrings and something that you would like to help with. And so the two that Liz mentioned and others that are mentioned on a regular basis in our bulletin, you're certainly welcome to contribute. Just make sure that you mark properly how you'd like to direct that giving. So want to also let you know that there are several sign-up sheets in the back of the sanctuary this morning. A couple of them for assisting at the retirement home and Hickory Estates, formerly Cedarhurst, helping with the elderly there, playing games, visiting, just having some fellowship. And so if you'd like to assist with any of those, there aren't any planned times yet, but we're looking for some volunteers there. Also, there is a sign-up sheet, and today's the last day. So please make sure you sign up if you're interested in going to hear Amelia Earhart. No, they didn't find her, but but she does exist in a person that does comes about and shares through her history teaching lessons. We've had her here before. And so I hope that you will come to the airport and hear Amelia Earhart this coming Saturday, June 3rd at 11:30. It's going to be an interesting location out at the airport to hear from this person that portrays Amelia Earhart. And please do so, sign up today so that we can plan accordingly for food. So make sure you do that. Also, reminder that because of the holiday weekend, the church office is closed tomorrow, and I think we're missing several today due to a holiday weekend. I know some are camping. I do know that we have a few in the church right now that are sick and could not be here today, so we miss them. And I know Veronica is speaking at her home church where she and Steve worshiped when they were in Centralia, so that's a nice opportunity for them. And so we miss a few of our friends here today, but we know they'll be back. Are there any other announcements or things that I might have mentioned that neglected to mention that are of importance here this morning? Okay. All right. Our scripture lesson is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And this is the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. A familiar passage of Scripture, Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of His Word. Have you ever heard the expression, we spend the first 2 years of our children's lives teaching them how to walk and talk, and the rest of their years telling them to sit down and be quiet? Well, there's probably some truth to that. I remember when our firstborn, Andrew, was learning to talk, and my grandma would come and visit us on a fairly regular basis, and she would always tell Andrew, "You are windy. You are very windy." And he would say, "No, I'm not." But Grandma would always tell him how windy he is. What is a person that is windy? I wanted to know. Well, it's a person that just is speaking a bunch of nonsense. Maybe not making much sense. Maybe not having much substance to it. Then I thought about people who we consider to be filled with hot air. Most of the time, we equate these people as with politicians. They aren't saying anything of real value or meaning. They're just full of hot air. Then there's this expression that my dad used to use. He would say about a person that he worked with or someone that he knew, he said, well, they're just a blowhard. They're just a blowhard. And a blowhard is a person that is exceptionally boastful and not in a pleasant way. They're not fun to be around because they talk about themselves all of the time. They're very narcissistic. They're very talkative. They speak without saying really anything of meaning or purpose. They're vain. They're conceited. And so that is a blowhard. Then there's people who just speak gibberish, or what we call jibber jabber. And this, I would say, my grandson Monty right now is speaking jibber jabber, because he will start talking and he knows what he's saying, but it comes across as blah, 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 blah. And so it's jibber jabber that we hear, but he knows in his little mind what's going on. But then there is the person that is a windbag. And these people tend to talk at great length. Many times I think they talk just to hear themselves, talking about whatever it is they're talking about. But again, these people are similar to the others and not saying anything of great value. And then I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to talk about another band this week, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Now, Earth, Wind, and Fire is a band that formed around in the Chicagoland area. Interestingly enough, Chicago being the Windy City, a name that they were given because of the winds that came off the lake, but also a name that they were given because the politicians there. But anyway, this band, Earth, Wind, and Fire, a band that played jazz and R&B and soul and funk and Latin and pop rock and Afro pop, all these kinds of things. They were big, big band, and I love them still to this day. One of their greatest songs is called September, and I enjoy listening to that. But they sold over 90 million records, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Today, we're going to talk about wind, and we're going to talk about fire, thus the reference to the band Earth, Wind, and Fire. So I want to ask you this question this morning, and I'd like for you to seriously contemplate it. Are you, as a Christian, more in line with what we're going to talk about as being spirit-filled, or are you a windbag? Are you full of hot air? Are you just speaking jibber-jabber and not accomplishing anything of substance? Where do you fall in that scale? Or are you just windy, like my grandma used to say? Well, today is Pentecost, the day in which we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day in which we remember that Jesus fulfilled his promise that he had given to his disciples, and he told them, I'm going to send you the one that will be your comforter, the Holy Spirit. It was a day that was filled with wind and fire on the earth. And so the Old Testament, as we think about the Holy Spirit and his presence there, and yes, the Holy Spirit did exist from the very beginning of the books of the Bible, in the book of Genesis from the very beginning. But in the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God came upon people, it was for a specific reason or a specific person or to a specific person or a certain group, and it was only a temporary way of relating to people. And it was always, always, and I want to stress this very clearly this morning, whenever the Spirit of God came down upon people in the Old Testament times, and yes, new, and even in today, it is always, always to accomplish God's purposes, not our own. We can see then in the New Testament that the disciples that were gathered in Jerusalem, like Jesus told them to, he said, I want you guys to go wait in Jerusalem when he saw them at the ascension. Go on back to Jerusalem, hang out there, and there you will see the Spirit of God. And so it came upon them and that room that they were all in at that time. It again was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Christ. And this time, as the Spirit came, it wasn't just temporary. And while it was to a certain group of people, it would be the beginning of the Spirit's presence upon many thousands of people, and then that would be passed on through the generations. And the Spirit is still with us today. This is a marvelous expression of God's power. And God gives us all this supernatural power as believers in Jesus Christ. And he gives to us a life-changing message, as he told, as recorded for us in earlier in the book of Acts in chapter 1, where he says that you're going to be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. So this is the message that we are given, the good news of Christ, that he keeps his promises and that he is bringing to us the Holy Spirit, as he said. In this room, and it was an upper room, not necessarily the same upper room where Jesus and his disciples were gathered, but it was there in a place, perhaps even a permanent residence, but a place where Jesus would appear to a group of about 120. If you look back in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, you'll see there that Jesus, that there's an appearance of the Spirit there in that place to 120 people. And within that group of 120 is also an additional number of people. It includes the disciples, not Judas, because he's already out of the picture, but it includes the disciples. It includes a group of women. We cannot forget the women, and they're always present in these significant events. Then we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is there, and we have Jesus' brothers. So all of these people are present when the Holy Spirit comes upon them in this one place. And it was a life-changing experience on earth that day, a life-changing experience that would not only impact those 120 believers in Christ, but also that day, later on that day, 3,000 people were added to their number. 3,000 people were saved that day. And so the early church grew rapidly in that moment. In verse 1, it says this: when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. I think this is to signify unity, that they were unified in their presence with one another. It also shows that they continued to do what they said they were going to do. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says that they prayed continually. They didn't stop praying since the time of the ascension of Jesus Christ 10 days earlier. They continued to pray. They were together in unity. They were unified in what they were doing. The day of Pentecost is one of the three major festivals, if you will, or feasts that are talked about in the Old Testament and then take on new meaning in the New Testament. This day of Pentecost are the day of the seventh Sabbath. And so if you count backwards to Passover, or for our purposes, to Easter, you'll find seven Sundays between Easter Sunday and today. And you also find, if you count, not including those Sundays, you will find that there are 50 days, penta, like a five-sided pentagon, 50 days, Pentecost. And so there's 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this was a feast, what was once called the Feast of First Fruits. I think it's interesting here that is mentioned as the Feast of First Fruits, or that it happened on Passover, because these first 120, or these 3,120 plus a few more, were gathered in one place, and they became the first fruits. They became the very first people who received the Holy Spirit as it was intended by Christ. And it came, and that Spirit came to them from heaven. So Jesus was crucified over the Passover time. And then he ascended 40 days after his resurrection. And then the Holy Spirit came those 50 days after the resurrection, 10 days after the ascension. So these 120 believers were all together in one place. And what happened to them would change our world forever. So on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. They were unified. And then what happened? Suddenly. So out of nowhere, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Let's look at that just for a minute. A sound like blowing wind. Many times when people hear tornadoes, they say it's very quiet right before, and then suddenly there's this sound like a blowing wind, and it sounds, many people have equated it to the sound of a train, and it just comes out of nowhere, and it wipes out everything in its path as it moves from place to place. Suddenly, a sound like it. So not necessarily a blowing wind, but a sound like it that came through, and it was a violent wind. And where did it come from? It came from heaven. Let's make no mistake about this wind and where it came from. It came from heaven. And wind is a symbol of the power of God and the Spirit of God. And wind and spirit have a similar sound and similar spelling within the original language. And the wind is a good analogy for the Spirit of God that moves among us. It's not seen, but it's felt, and its effects are and can be found everywhere in a never-ending supply. So it's like when we go outside and the wind is there. These last few days have been beautiful, haven't they? The temperature has just been perfect, and there's been a slight breeze and beautiful blue skies and sunshine. It's been great. And that wind just seems to never really go away. And you look up in the trees and they're swaying back and forth, and it's so relaxing and beautiful to see. The Jewish people believed that the wind of God's Spirit would precede the announcement of the Messianic age. And so it makes sense here again that Jesus was the one who brought it about, that he fulfilled his promise, that he sent his son, that he sent the Holy Spirit, rather, to be with these people that day. And it began then the Messianic age. It began the process of all of us having the Spirit of God upon our lives and in our hearts. This breeze, this wind, this breath, whatever it was like, it didn't just impact one or two of them. It didn't only come upon the 120 that had already been followers of Jesus Christ, but it says every single person in that room. This is significant. Because, as I said before, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, when referenced, was always only for a special purpose or a special time or place or upon a certain person or group of people. And then it was gone. It came and went, but now it was upon everyone, and it would never leave. It would always be with them to comfort them, to encourage them, to guide them. It affected every single one of them. It says in the scripture that it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The entire house. So everybody that was in the house was aware of this sound, this wind, this presence of God in that place. Again, it was most likely the place where they had been gathering already to pray, and gathering there on a regular basis after the ascension of Christ to pray. A group of people gathering to pray is powerful. And Jesus says, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. His presence, his spirit is there when we pray. This is true yet today. It was also a fulfillment of prophecy, and this prophecy is mentioned if you just flip over one page in your Bible, and you'll find it in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, verses 17 and 18. And there you'll find the words of the prophet Joel when he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit, not on one person, a couple people, a certain place and time, no, upon all people. And then he lists off the young, the old, the men, the women, everybody will have these visions and dreams, and God's Spirit will be upon them in this time and in this way. And so the coming of the Spirit is marked by an audible wind and a visible fire, which are signs of the presence of an almighty God. After this, the scripture says, then what looked like tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Now we have another symbol, a symbol that can be construed a couple of different ways. And I'll unpack that here for you in a moment. I also want you to realize that it settled upon, again, not one of them, not a couple of them, not just the 120, not just the disciples, but all of the people that were gathered there. And those 3,000 later that day, they all received that Spirit. This tongues of fire appeared, and it came down out of heaven again. So make no mistake, again, where this came from and the message that was intended to be heard. The great sound of wind was added a visual image, the tongues of fire that settled on each of them. Why tongues of fire? What does that mean? What are these tongues that we're talking about? Well, if you read into this passage even more, and we will in a moment, you'll see that people are speaking in different languages, and yet they're able to understand them. But I want to be clear here, and I think the scripture is very clear. This isn't the same kind of tongues that you and I might be thinking about. This is not the gift of tongues, like the gift of administration or the gift of teaching or the gift of this or that. This is a specific anointing of the Holy Spirit that has come, not for one, but for all. And so this gift comes of tongues of fire, symbolizing the purifying presence of God. What do we know about that? We know that fire is used to refine, don't we? We know that from Scripture. We know that fire is also a symbol of God's judgment upon those who aren't following His ways, and it burns the chaff that's left over from the wheat, a symbol of God's judgment upon people. So it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, thus the red, thus the flames that we talk about on Pentecost day. We see this on these days, the presence of God. And it symbolizes for us the opportunity that we all have to be ambassadors, to be preachers and communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. On Mount Sinai, it was God who confirmed the validity of the Old Testament law with fire from heaven. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, fire was used to portray the powerful presence of God. And then there's that fire that we all know, the fire in the burning bush, and the fire, pillars of fire that led the people at night. And in the New Testament, John talks about the fact that Jesus would baptize the people with the Holy Spirit and with what? With fire. So at Pentecost, God is confirming the validity of the Holy Spirit's ministry by sending fire. Sending tongues of fire, which divided and lit upon every person that was there. It came down to all the believers, symbolizing that God's power was available to all, to every person. Not just someone who's trained or educated or had a lot of money or social status or standing, but God's power was available to all who believed in Him and gave their life to Him. In principle, what we're talking about here is the filling of the Holy Spirit. It says that the Scripture says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this can be distinguished from the term baptism of the Spirit. It's different. Baptism is kind of a theological thing. It's something that we all do when we invite the Spirit to come into our lives and we accept Him. It's something that we do once. But when we ask the Spirit of God to come into our lives, it's something that we need to continue to do. Asking God to guide us, asking God to lead us, asking God to comfort us through that Spirit and continue to utilize the power of God through the Holy Spirit that is given to each and every one of us. This is the Spirit's filling in each of us. And it's available to every single person. But let's think a minute here about what it's not. If you are not a believer of Jesus Christ, no one can belong to Christ without the Spirit of God. No one is united in Christ without the Spirit of God. No one is adopted as one of God's children without the Spirit of God. And no one is in the body of Christ except by baptism in the Spirit. The Spirit is the power of the new life that is given to each and every one of us. Without it, we are weak. We do not have what we need without that Spirit of God. And it's a lifelong process, and I think all of you would probably attest to that. The many times that you've had to go to God in prayer and ask His Spirit to guide you and lead you. Those who receive Christ by faith begin then to have a personal relationship with God and Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And it is the Spirit which unites all of us. It is the Spirit of God which brings us together. And again, earlier I mentioned this, thinking about how they were together in one place, like we are this morning, together in one place, believing that God's Spirit is among us and that we are the people of God. Jesus promised the disciples in John chapter 14, verse 7, He said, "I will be with you." The Spirit will be with you. This prophecy is fulfilled because of the day of Pentecost. Some people believe that this is the inauguration day of the church, that the church actually started on this day. I think you can make a case for that. This could be considered what we might call the birthday of the church. But I think it's more so that the church likely began on Resurrection Day, because everything had been accomplished up to that point. This day of Pentecost, is the beginning of rapid growth in the church. The church existed and it grew. And so from this point on. Now, to talk about these other languages for a minute. You know, you see on TV all these advertisements now, don't you? There's Rosetta Stone, there's Babbel, there's all these different tools that you can use to learn how to speak foreign languages, and they promise quick results. I'm not so sure that the results would come as quickly to certainly me as opposed to maybe some others, but I'm interested about it. But this day, there was no Rosetta Stone. There was no Babel. There was this Tower of Babel, and these people were talking, and they were speaking in different languages other than their own. And the interesting thing about it all is that everybody understood. There were a lot of out-of-towners here, remember? This was one of the feasts, like the Passover. Everybody came to Jerusalem. Same for this feast, the Feast of Pentecost. They're all coming to Jerusalem. All these people who are speaking in different languages, and they all understood. Wouldn't that be something if you could go to another country and immediately understand the language that they are speaking? I know I've been to many different countries and been privileged to be able to do that, but always had to rely upon an interpreter or one of my friends who knew just enough to ask where the bathroom was or or how to eat or where do we go, you know, to get to this place. But I was never one of those people. I had one of my friends in college who was very good with languages, went on to get his PhD. He's a very intelligent person, a great guy. He was able to speak all these languages when we traveled in Europe. It was amazing. He was also the person who had perfect pitch. We were music majors together. I very much disliked him because of that. Because it was easy for him to hear what key things were in and what pitch something was in. It was fun, though, later on when I had a friend who had perfect pitch and somebody would sneeze and he'd go, "A flat," you know, something like that. I digress. Jews believed that the spoken prophecy had ceased. They didn't believe that it continued on. They understood that now the prophets would speak through the Torah, through the first five books of the Bible that existed. the books of Moses. They believed that God would speak through prophets, but that these books of the Bible would be interpreted by scholars and rabbis of the time. So this was a remarkable day for the church. The believers could speak in these other languages. But again, listen to this. As we know that the wind came from heaven and the fire came from heaven, this ability to speak in other languages, it says this was given to them by the Holy Spirit. Again, not the kind of gifts that we might be thinking about that are mentioned in the New Testament, but this gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift to be able to hear these other languages and understand them. These gifts, just as the gift of tongues and other gifts within the New Testament, were given so that the body of Christ could be built up. It wasn't to draw attention to oneself. It wasn't to be that windbag, that babbler, that jibber-jabber. It wasn't meant to be like that. It was meant so that the body of Christ could be built up and the church could continue on. So I ask you once again this morning, are you a windbag? Are you full of hot air? Are you a blowhard? Do you just like to jibber-jabber? Are you like all the politicians in the Chicagoland area that are just full of a bunch of wind? Or are you sitting here today being convicted that you are spirit-filled and that God can use you with that spirit to do more than just talk, but to put action behind your words, to make a difference? Because see, the air that came that day, the violent rushing wind or mighty wind or a sound like it, wasn't just hot air. It wasn't just wind off of a lake. It wasn't just a bunch of nonsense. We know if you read on here, they thought as Peter and some of his disciples were drunk because of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that either. They were filled with a different kind of spirit. This gift was given by God. This gift is still given today to each and every one of you. I want to know today, on this day of Pentecost, perhaps God has lit a fire. And I can't say what my dad used to say, but lit a fire underneath you somewhere. Lit a fire under you to get you up off of your keister to do something. My dad sometimes ignited that fire for me. And you know what I mean. This gift was given to get people to do something. So I ask you, what does God's fire mean to you today? Are you feeling convicted this morning? Are you feeling that God's Spirit is bringing judgment upon you because there's something that you need to be doing as His Spirit has spoken to you? As you hear that wind, as you hear that still small voice of God speaking to you, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Has God's fire lit upon you? Well, I'm here to tell you today that if you are a Christian, the answer is yes. God's fire is upon you. I'm here to tell you today that if you believe in Jesus Christ, that His Spirit is upon you, and that you have the ability to do marvelous works in His name, not for your own glorification or recognition, but to build up the body of Jesus Christ. I pray that God's Spirit will come upon this church, that this community, this state, this nation, and this world, and that He will change our hearts and that He will help ignite this fire in us again, that He will renew us, that He will invigorate us, that we too may go forth from this place filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.